Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Booing, they're yelling Boo-laga edition. I don't know if you've heard, but the Packers are playing the Bears this week. Is anybody really thinking or talking about this game specifically? This matchup? Maybe in Brian's family down in Illinois, although I know his dad's not a Bears fan edition. And all the fun things we do every Friday, including the green and gold game preview, the Academy with their final regular season headline of the year in movie form, and everything else that we've got going on. On Wilde and Tausch, on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his disclosed location in Florida, although maybe he's at the farm, you never know. He is the future Packers Hall of Famer and the guy that makes us smarter every time he's on the show. I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. It is Brian Boulaga. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Glad to be back on with you guys. I appreciate the invite. It's always good to fill in for Tausch. It's always good.
They are big shoes and pants to fill. So we've got you for 3 hours, and I thought in between all the other stuff that we always get to on Fridays, I did think, because I mean it when I say this, we are smarter when we have you on the show. You make us smarter, and I do not take that lightly, and I don't say that just to be nice. It's absolutely true. And I was already getting some questions from people, and I wanted to... I think I have a lot of answers, but they're not the same answers as a guy who played in the league and who has really grown into his analyst role, since that's what we... That's what Tausch prefers to be called, so I assume you'd like to be called that as well. And so I thought it would be fun to get some questions for you. So you can send those in via the Carbless talk and text line, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. My question for you out of the gate is, how interested are you in this game? And if you were a player this week, are you using, hey, we want to keep the streak going, 12 straight over the Bears? I heard a couple players mention that yesterday. Where is your motivation coming from when you don't really have the greatest of chances of improving your playoff position. How do you approach it?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at it from, is there a chance that, you know, Dallas beating Washington? No, it's not great, right? Like, it's not a great chance. Is there a chance? Sure, there's a chance, and you could maybe move up a spot, maybe. But from a motivational standpoint, I think, sure, you could look at continuing the streak against Chicago. It is a division rival and all that, and you kind of want to continue to stack momentum within the division. You did drop four against the two top teams in the division, so you want to continue to win games within the division, which I think is important to continue to establish yourself as one of the better teams in the division and leave Chicago as the bottom dwellers down there, not even allow them to win a game in the division. You don't want to be the team that gives Chicago a win in the division. Mm-hmm. That's something that I think means something, at least for me personally, is the way I would feel about it. And we kind of talked about this last night on the Homer Hour. For me personally, if I were on the team, I would use this game for me as something that gets me ready, feeling confident going into the playoffs. I know Chicago, for an offensive line perspective, has a good defensive line. They have a good defense. So, like, I'm treating this as something that can prepare me to go against Philadelphia's defense. Is it the same defense? No, it's not. But you know what? Chicago's got a good defense. They have a good front. They played us really tough in Chicago. If we all think back to what happened in Chicago, they played us really tough. So we understand we're going to get a good game against them. So this is a good game to get us ready to go to Philly and play another tough defense. And it gives you confidence to go out there and be ready to go in a tough environment and play. You know, I mean, Lambeau is, it's your last time in Lambeau. You're in front of the home crowd, and you get to get that one last embrace from your home crowd and get the support from your home crowd. And then after that, man, you're on your way to away crowds, and no one's cheering for you. Like, it's not like it's going to be tough to go to these away crowds. And, you know, normally Green Bay travels really well on the road games during the season. It is very hard for Packers fans to get these tickets in these type of venues, right? In Philly, to go get tickets in these type of scenarios. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's very difficult for them to purchase tickets because Philly, they're not giving up playoff tickets. And then if you say you beat Philly, I'm telling you what, they're not giving them up in Detroit or they're not giving them up in Minnesota. So, like, it's going to be hard to get, you know, a lot of Packers fans in the stadium. So, like, this is your last time to play in front of your fans. So enjoy it, play well, get yourself ready to go on the road and be it's you versus everyone. So I would look at this thing as getting your mind and kind of your technique and everything ready to go on a playoff run.
All right, so we'll get to some more of your questions as we go through the show. You can submit them via the Carbless talk and text line. Lists is more. 844-770-3776. But you mentioned our conversation on the Homer Hour last night, and I want people, as popular as you and Homer are, not everyone listens to that show and ours. And what I thought was really interesting yesterday, because we kind of dug down further with LaFleur on what his thought process was, and I thought it became very clear that he believed he made a mistake in 21 when he told Aaron and all the starters, hey, you're going to play the first half in Detroit, and then we're going to turn it over to the young guys and the backups, because they had locked in the number one seed. And while I said to LaFleur as we went back and forth, you don't really think you lost to the 49ers because of the way you handled the regular season finale against the Lions. And he said no, but it left a sour taste in his mouth. So to your point about wanting to play well, you know, he has made sure that he did not tell the guys that they're going to leave the game at some point. And if you are a player, and I know how conscientious you were, but if you're being told, hey, you're only going to play a half, does that not impact your mentality? And is that probably why he's making sure he does not make that same mistake again? Like, you just, if you're not preparing to play the whole game, I don't care how professional you are. It's hard not to think, okay, well, I just got to get through the half and then we'll be done. Like, that was a mistake by him, and I think he acknowledges that.
Yeah, I mean, you're human, right? Like, you get told you're only playing this much no matter what, right? Like, no matter how professional, how veteran you are, it doesn't matter, man. Like, you know, hey, this is as far as I'm going, so, like, no matter what happens throughout this game, like, I know I'm checking out at halftime, and that's just what it is. And it's, to me, like, I would rather not be told anything. I'd rather just be told, think you're playing the whole game, and just go into this thing thinking you're going to go the distance. And if you get pulled in the third and the second and the fourth, hey, great. Bonus, right? You get the tap on your shoulder after you come off for a series and say, hey, you're done, you're down, and that's great, sounds good, thank you, you know, you're we're going to Philly next week, get ready to go, okay, perfect. But to know beforehand that you're only going a certain amount of time, like, I think that kind of, I don't want to say it softens you mentally, but mm-hmm. It certainly doesn't put you in a state to, like, be ready to, like, I don't know, like, not, I don't even know how to put it, but it doesn't make you feel like you're gonna, like, be ready to be battle tested and battle ready to go the full distance, right? Like, because you know you're passing it off to somebody else. No matter what happens in that game, you're passing it off to somebody else. So it doesn't matter what happens in the first half. I don't care because I'm not finishing this thing off. So I could play a terrible game, I could play a really good game, but it doesn't matter, right? Like, we could be up two scores, we could be down two scores, doesn't matter, because I'm not finishing it. And I just think that's in a regular season, preseason, it's different, right? Like, that to me, like, that really is, I could care less about that, right? Like, and that's sure. Probably the only time I could say I could care less about it is the preseason. But, like, regular season games, even if you are the one seed and you've locked it up and all that, like, I kind of get Andy Reid's situation right now because they do got guys banged up and he's rest. And, like, I get it, right? Like, when you got actual injury issues, I understand it. And I'm totally on board when you have injury issues. But when guys are healthy and you're sitting guys, that's where I start to have a little, I don't know if that's right, right? Right. And then guys start to, and they get comfortable and I understand the coach's mentality. Right, like, I get it. Like, you'd rather have the healthy body in the playoff than something happen, and I get it. But, like, there's something to be said about guys, like, going out there and playing well and take carrying that over into the next week of the playoffs and playing well. And, like, because in the reality of this thing, Green Bay's not the one seed, right? And this isn't back when I played when the one seed and two seed got the bye week. It's only one team, right? And we're not that one team. So we're rolling right into the next week. And we already know Philly is resting guys. And, you know, that's what they're doing. So they're right. Sitting guys. And they're a more veteran team, right? By all means, they're a more veteran team. They got older guys, and they've made that decision on Monday or Tuesday, whenever Sirianni said, and that's what he thinks is best. That's great. That's fine. But we're not a more veteran team. And by all means, and you know, the injury report is what it is, right? We got some guys right. Banged up, but
no doubt
we know who those guys are, and we already know those guys are not playing, right? Like Watson and Quay and William. Like, we know those guys yep. aren't playing. So, like, that's not who I'm talking about. But for the most part, it's a pretty clean bill of health. You know, if we look at the team overall. But we want this young team to be able to go play really good this week against Chicago and carry that momentum into Philadelphia, right? Like, because I always thought, you know, when we had the one or two seed when we played, and if we had that week off, whenever the team came into Green Bay that was, you know, that played the week in the wild card and won, carried a lot of momentum into Lambeau. And then you yep. had to try to match that. No matter, even though you were the favorite, you had to try to match that intensity. And that was tough to do, right? Like, I mean, it was tough to do. And the time that we had to do it, I mean, against the Giants, obviously did not go well, if we all recall what happened in 2011. I'm trying to think of the other times that we had to do it. I mean, I think Dallas, we did it fine, right? In 2014, were we the two seed?
You were, yes.
And we did it fine there. But that was a tough game too, right? That was a tough football game. It wasn't an easy game. So, like, it's just one of those things that you'd want to be playing well going into it. So, like, I just hope that guys have the right mindset going into this football game against Chicago, and that's all I'm hoping.
And let's be clear here too. As long as Cowboys Commanders is in doubt, they should be playing their guys, because there is something to be gained. You can avoid the number two seed, and you can play either the Rams or the Buccaneers, who I assume are going to win the NFC South. They haven't officially done it yet. But to me, as long as that game's in doubt, you don't have to worry about any of this, because your guys need to play. And how closely is LaFleur going to be monitoring the scoreboard? And if the Commanders are up 21 early in the third quarter, is he going to pull the plug on guys? Maybe. But the fact of the matter is, if somehow the Cowboys put up a good fight, you want Jordan Love and all those guys playing to win as long as possible, because you do have something to gain. It's not like there is nothing to be gained from this game. That's the one difference here than, say, for some of these teams that are locked into their position.
I agree. Like, that's the thing. Like, you have something to actually gain. And you know, Homer and I went back and forth on this yesterday, because he's like, well, you know, Dallas isn't winning. I go, but they could. Like, right? You know what I mean? Like, they certainly could win. They probably won't, but they could win. So, you are playing for something. I mean, if Dallas wins and Green Bay doesn't beat Chicago, I mean, you may never forgive yourself for that, right? Like, if you don't play your guys and you end up – or not play your guys, but you pull your guys early and you lose to Chicago and Dallas wins – you may never forgive yourself for that, and not the chance to go to L.A. or Tampa or however that pans out, and you go to Philly instead. So, there is something to play for. I get the odds are what they are of what Dallas, Washington, how that's going to pan out. But, like, and you don't want to be – you know, I get LaFleur's situation. You don't want to be in the situation where you're scoreboard watching, or you got the guy in your ear – you know, telling you what the score is constantly and what, like, I get it. Like, you just want to be able to coach and, like, but the reality is that's probably going to happen, right? Like, there's most likely he's going to have someone telling him what's going on and all that. And that's part of this thing. But I'm hoping he allows his guys to go at least the first half and a little bit into the third quarter, and then evaluate from there, right? Like, if Dallas is getting washed in the third quarter, okay, right? And if your guys are playing well into the third quarter and you're doing a good job against Chicago, all right, maybe it's time to sit Love. I mean, obviously, I'm you mentioned it yesterday, and I'm all on board with that. Like, let's let Jacobs not touch the rock 20 times, right? Like, let's be very mindful with Jacobs' touches, right? Because
he's so vital to what they do.
Yes, as good as he is with, like, how he's able to protect himself and how he carries the ball and how he bounces off guys, like, the life of a back is very tough, right? Like, and how they get held up and then chopped down. Like, I'd rather just not go down that road, you know, limit the exposure. So, like, and listen, like, it's okay to get other backs some touches. This is, you know, it's okay to get, you know, some guys some looks right now, to get them some experience under their belt. Like, this is the time. Like, this is when you want other guys to get their hands on the football going into the playoffs, because, again, you never know what's going to happen, right? You never know what could happen in the playoffs. Perfect example, what happened with James Starks for us going into the playoffs. James Starks, you know, didn't get too many touches until the playoffs, and then he was the starting running back for the entire playoff run. So, like, you just never know. And I'm not saying that's going to happen with Jacobs, but, like, you just want everyone to be prepared. And that's kind of – and I know I could be contradicting myself by saying that with, like, you know, play all the guys, and, well, what if Brian, well, then you should sit guys and let other guys. No, that's not what I'm saying. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just talking about, like, running back is a different situation than the quarterback, and it's but overall, like, I think the guy should, like, three quarters of the game, let him play well, let him build that confidence, and then safe than sorry, pull him, let other guys, well, because you can't pull everybody, right? There's only so many that dress. You can't pull everybody. That's the reality. So there's going to be a lot of starters that stay out there the entire game. Like, that's the reality of this thing. So, like, you know, you only have so many guys that you can pull. So, like, I mean, you look at who you're going to pull, Jason. I mean, for me, you're going to pull Love. You're going to pull Jacobs. You're going to pull McKinney. You're going to pull Kenny. You're going to pull probably Rashawn. Maybe Zach Tom. And then who's the seventh?
Right. And you're already sitting, and that was LaFleur's point, is you're already sitting a bunch of injured guys who are going to be inactive. You have, like, you know, as much as you'd like to take and treat it like a pre, and again, they have to get the lead first, right? I mean, the last time they played the Bears, they didn't succeed in that. Now, the Bears have now lost, whatever, 10 in a row, so you certainly would hope that you will have the opportunity to consider these options. But the fact of the matter is, and look, LaFleur mentioned something that Bill Belichick said earlier in the week, which is, this is a challenge of, okay, we're going to tell these guys they're too valuable for us to risk. It reminds me of that preseason game in Winnipeg where the field was crappy. So LaFleur had like 33. Were you still with the team at that point?
Yeah.
The field was crappy. So 33 guys didn't dress, but the rest of you guys, we don't care if you get hurt. Like, the field sucks, but we got to put somebody out there. You're not as important. You have to play, right?
Yeah. So, essentially what happened. Yeah.
So that was his point of what Belichick had said earlier in the week. All right. We didn't get to do tackle talk this week, and Jordan Love was sacked 3 times in the game. Which he'd only been sacked 11 times all year coming in. So we'll do Tackle Talk, the Friday edition, coming up next with Brian Bulaga in as our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs, we believe in better. Getting some texts on the Carbless Talk and Text line with questions for you, so we'll get to those coming up. But we didn't get to do Tackle Talk as we normally do after a game. So I ask you, Brian Bulaga, what did you see from the Packers' offensive line? How do you explain the uptick in sacks allowed in the game, statistically? And did Elgton Jenkins get snubbed for the Pro Bowl?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that the Minnesota game was the Lions' best game. We'll just put it that way, right? Like, I think you look at the game overall and it wasn't their best performance. I thought they did a nice job in the run game. Like, I thought they did a nice job for Jacobs, and he was very productive on the ground. I mean, unfortunately, in the game, they got into a situation where they couldn't continue to run the ball. They had to put it in the air, and, you know, the way the game panned out, they got down so much that then they had to continue to throw. And when you become that predictable against a defense like that, it's tough, right? You're on the road. Flores likes to pressure. He throws a lot of different things at you, and when you're in a situation like that, it's hard to protect consistently. And it wasn't like the breakdowns happened all game, right? Like, it wasn't like a thing that happened from start to finish. Like, you kind of saw when Green Bay and this offense was making their comeback. It was very clean. Protection was very good. Like, you know, in the fourth quarter when they were kind of starting to surge back, like, they cleaned a lot of things up and things looked really good. But it was kind of like the first half, in the third quarter a little bit. Like, they were having a hard time picking up the pressures. Guys were losing one-on-one matchups. Love was kind of getting, you know, getting pressured too often. And that just was very that's very uncharacteristic for this offensive line. Like, because they're very good pass protectors, or at least I think they are. And you know, based on the sacks given up and their pressure rate and all that, like, I think they're a very good group, you know, protecting the passer, you know, drop back wise. So, like, I think Flores did a really good job showing different looks and the way that they pressure. I mean, it's very Belichick style, and I remember going against the Belichick looks. It poses a lot of different challenges, you know, and based on personnel as well. So, like, when we were going against Belichick, I mean, the personnel was much different than what Minnesota has. So, like, you know, going against New England at the time, you know, Chandler Jones was the big name pass rusher at the time. So, like, you had to keep track of him because he was the premier pass rusher. But then you look at the linebackers like Hightower, and then you had the, you know, other certain, you know, good players, but not like marquee type guys. But, like, you had to keep eyes on Chandler. This Minnesota group, I mean, I think you could say Van Ginkle's probably the big name guy. Didn't he make the Pro Bowl? Like, Van Ginkle, didn't he make the Pro Bowl? I think he did. Or did he not?
Well, it appears that anybody can make the Pro Bowl right now. But yeah. that's another story for another segment.
Yeah.
Oh, like, snap.
I think Van Ginkle's probably their best front player, right? Like, I think he's probably their best guy up front.
He played at Wisconsin instead of Iowa, so it's worked out well for him.
Yeah. So, and the thing is, like, I don't know where Van Ginkle was before. I don't know what. I don't even know where he was
before. Miami.
Where was he before?
He was in Miami.
So I blocked him. Yeah, I played against him when I was in L.A. So I know, I remember him. So, like, the thing about that is, like, he has found a system that suits him very well. So, like, you have a group of guys that are good players that have now found a scheme with Flores that is making them really good players. And when you have that, and they're in an environment that the fans create. It's loud. It's a fast track. Uh-huh. It's a good scheme. You kind of get what we saw on Sunday. And that's a lot of pressure, a lot of confusion. And these guys are able to play fast. They're confident. And they get home. And Van Ginkle's a perfect, like, example of that. That guy is playing really well right now because he's very confident. He's able to play fast. Like, you see him screaming off the edge. I mean, he beat Tom a couple times for, I think, one for a sack. Like, he's playing really, really well. And like, that's what Minnesota's kind of been doing this whole season with these guys. And it's a tip of the cap to them because they're not spending a ton of money on that side of the ball. I mean, I think we're looking offensively where a lot of their money is. Like, if you look at them, like, mostly is that – you know, mm-hmm. the receivers and now the quarterback. They're probably going to have to pay the quarterback again and what they're doing. So that – I don't want to say it's all scheme, but a lot of it is what Flores is doing and what they're doing up front and create confusion. And then also with that, it's not always on the offensive line, right? Like, it's not everything is the offensive line's fault. At times, things can get blocked up well, and on the back end, things are covered up. And then by the time things do uncover on the back end, pressure eventually gets home, right? Pressure always eventually gets home. And then it looks like guys got beat and there's a sack or a pressure and Love has to throw it or get out of the pocket and throw it away. And then it looks like it's the O-line's fault. So, like, it's always a combination of one thing or another. But the eyes did not deceive early in that game. Like, the O-line had a rough go at it to start. I thought they settled down when, you know, the late third, fourth quarter came into play. But it wasn't their finest showing. And they're going to have to get that sorted out. And that's why I want them all to play against Chicago and get that out of their system so that when you go play another good D-line in Philly, you feel good about what you're about to go do, right? Like, you feel confident that you can go play good football on the road again.
So did anything from that game, and then we'll move on. Did anything from that game give you red flags or cause for concern? Like significant concern, right? I get they didn't play well. I get Jordan Love missed some throws. I get all that. But from an overarching, the playoffs are coming, I have questions about this team now in area X, Y, or Z because of what I saw against the Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only area of concern I have is, like, can they start fast against good teams on the road, right? And I don't mean start fast by putting up 14 points in the first quarter, right? Like, I'm just looking for them to, like, score a touchdown in the first quarter and get themselves in a comfortable position, to start the game, right? And I get that, the field goal is fine, right? Like, and that's okay. But, like, I mean a touchdown to build confidence coming out of the gate, like a touchdown and a stop, right? And that's, like, kind of what I've always looked at as a fast start offensively and defensively, is like a touchdown and a stop, and that gets you going. And I think that's the one thing I'm looking for as they start this playoff push. Like, when they go to Philly or Tampa or LA, whatever they do, when they take the field, can they score right off the get and then get a stop and get the ball back? And to me, that signifies a fast start. And what we've seen when they've played these good teams, on the road, that's something they struggled with. So, like, I think if they can get over that later on in the game, we've seen what they've lost by in these games, right? Like, it's been, like, 2 points, three right. points. Like, it's been very close. So, like, if you figure some of these things out in the early part of the game, I guess we could play Captain Hindsight, but you don't know what happens later on in the game, right? Like, you could be winning these games later on. Like, and it's not – you put the flip the coin and you're the winner, or like you're in control at the end of the game and these other teams are chasing you. So, like, that's the one thing that I want to see from them. And I think they can do it, but it opens up the question, do you then kind of depart from what you've been doing and put the ball in the air more to start these games and not run the football as much as you have been? And that's kind of the trade-off you get. Or this is what I think could be a huge weapon for LaFleur going into the playoffs, because of how run heavy they've been. I think you could play action teams to death in the first quarter. I really think you can, because the percentages and the tendencies are so heavy to turn around and hand the ball to Jacobs that these D coordinators and these D line coaches and linebacker coaches are just preaching to these guys during the week. Here are the numbers. These are the numbers. They're handing it off. They're handing it off. They're handing it off. And they're flying downhill. And that's what they're thinking. So if you show that action, that's what they are thinking. And if you run and you're running play action, guys are going to be open. So, like, I'm hoping that's what we see early on in games, is play action, because, like, I think it's going to be there. Like, I really do, but we'll see. Like, because we just haven't seen that early in games, right? Like, I continue to think it's going to happen, right? Like, we run the ball with Jacobs early in the game. Like, the Vikings game is a perfect example, right? Like, run the ball, we're progressing it. Then I think right before he fumbles it, we're going to get a couple play actions. And Minnesota's got a bite on it, and we're going to get a play action down the field. And it just never came. But, like, I don't know if LaFleur is saving it. I don't know what it is, but, like, I continue to think it's going to happen, and it just hasn't happened yet. Because I think if he does, now you get these defenses on their heels a little bit, and that's what I'm waiting to see.
And let's remember, too, that they have gotten behind in all their games against good teams, right? 28-0 against the Vikings, 24-3 against the Lions in the first game. Now, in fairness, they did come back in the second Lions game. They actually had a 28-24 lead early in the fourth quarter. That was more of the back and forth game but they still dug themselves a 10-point hole. So, to your point, whatever you have to do, I personally am not a fan of taking the ball. I understand the mentality Matt has, but I would love I want my defense to be able to get a 3-and-out or maybe a 6-and-out stop and get me, so I know I'm getting the ball to start the second half. I don't give up points to start the game. That's obviously ideal. I just think that there's some risk involved because especially on the road, we want the ball and we're going to score. When you don't and you go 3-and-out, now the fans are already whipped into a frenzy because their defense has been on the field first and they're being loud, and now suddenly you've kind of given away the momentum out of the chute. So it was not... It worked sometimes, other times it didn't. As Matt LaFleur says about decisions, well, if it works out, then it was the right decision. And if it doesn't work out, then it was the wrong one, which is not how decisions work. All right, we've got Brian in as our cousin sub of the day. We're already smarter because of it. We don't have Tausch, but Tausch and Sarah still have this great thing going on with AmFam and the AmFam Children's Hospital. It is still the season of giving, Badgers fans or Hawkeyes fans or whatever you may be a fan of. And this year you can double your impact for the thousands of children receiving top-notch care at American Family Children's Hospital. Tausch's wife Sarah and he are teaming up with American Family Insurance to raise funds for the American Family Children's Hospital virtual toy drive. All the proceeds go toward therapeutic play supplies for pediatric patients, and American Family Insurance is matching the donations up to $50,000. So go to amfam4kids.org to donate today. Again, that's amfam4kids.org to donate today. More with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com.
Mark Tauscher here for Pizza Hut, where the...
How's it go, baby? Go, go, go!
We'll get to some of your texts on the Carbless talk and text line. This is more. We'll get more texts, I'm sure, as the show goes on with questions for Brian. But it's time now, as we do every Friday before a Packers Sunday game, for the Green and Gold game preview.
Let's take a closer look at this week's matchup. This is the Green and Gold game preview.
No Tausch, no problem. The Green and Gold game preview as we get set for the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears on Sunday at Lambeau Field, closing out the 2024-25 regular season. Brian Bulaga, what is the big storyline for you heading into this weekend's game?
Well, I think the big storyline for me is who is playing and for how long. And I think that kind of determines for the Green Bay Packers the outcome of the football game, right? I think if you play Jordan Love for only a couple quarters, I trust Malik Willis. He's won a lot of football games for the Packers. Yeah, I mean, they could still win, but if you start pulling out star, you know, running backs and star linemen and star DBs and defensive linemen, you're going to, you know, kind of hurt yourself a little bit to win the football game. So I think who plays and how much is going to be a big thing for how Green Bay handles this game.
Yeah, for me, it's get out of the game healthy. Obviously, you want to win the game. But if let's say that things stay interesting at AT&T Stadium in what could be Mike McCarthy's last game as the Cowboys coach, if things stay close, then you're going to keep playing your guys because you want to win and get that sixth seed. And that does come with some risk. I understand you can't play the game not to get hurt. I get it. But the idea that you are in the playoffs, you will have won 12 games if you beat the Bears, and on some play, somebody lands wrong on Josh Jacobs, and he gets a high ankle sprain that he cannot play through, that would be a problem. Packers in the postseason. So to me, the biggest storyline is, yes, get the win, get to 12 wins, get to be able to keep those bragging rights over the Bears. That's all well and good, but get out of the game healthy is most important. Jesse, what's next?
Besides Jordan Love, which player is most important for the Packers to have success on Sunday afternoon? Brian Bulaga.
Ooh, good question. I think Chicago, in order to win this football game, they're going to have to run the ball. So I look at it more for me as a position group. I think the defensive line is going to have to play a good game. And again, this kind of goes back to what I said is how much is like Kenny Clark going to play? I don't know. So like guys behind Kenny are going to have to step up and play really well. Because I think Chicago has to run the ball to beat Green Bay. It's probably going to be really cold. Caleb Williams throwing in Lambeau when it's really cold out. Haven't experienced yet. Going to have to figure that out. So I think the front four is going to have to play a really good game to get this thing done.
And they're due. I mean, they have had some games on occasion where they've played well, but that's a good one. I'm going to go to the other side of the football, though, and talk about the offensive line. You know, you just got done talking about how the Bears, they have plenty of shortcomings on their roster, but they do have a solid defense, and they can get after the quarterback and stuff the run with their guys up front. So, you know, we talk about feeling better about how you're playing going into the postseason. I think the offensive line needs a pick-me-up after the way things went in Minneapolis. They want to be able to say, okay, we got back to being ourselves. We're ready now for the playoffs. Let's go after it. So I think it's going to be the offensive line as the position group since Brian and I are bending the rules.
Leave it to you guys to bend the rules the second you get the opportunity. Final question.
Yes or no?
Final question in our Green and Gold game preview. Yeah, it does feel that way. The Packers beat the Bears on Sunday, and Matt LaFleur remains undefeated as the Packers head coach against the Chicago Bears. If blank. Brian, how do you fill in the blank?
If they score more points?
Cut his mic. We finally reached a point where Brian Bulaga said something that didn't make us smarter. Made us dumber.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
Let me help you out here, Blue, and then you can contemplate your answer.
Turnovers.
Okay. So yeah, that is a popular answer that we outlawed. I would say this because, again, I want to bring up 2021. You know, the offense did not play well in that game, knowing it was coming out at halftime, and so the backups inherited a deficit. It was 17-13 at the half. And then it was the backups that had to try and rally. So the Packers win this game if Jordan Love and the starters can pass off a lead to the backups in the second half that then Malik Willis and the defense just have to hold on to. And that's how the Packers win this game. And that would
technically
that they would also have scored more points, which is also how you win the game.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. I second that. I second all of that. That's fantastic. Well said.
Score more well points.
He's not the best in the business for nothing, folks.
And turnovers, Jesse. And turnovers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fits and right turnovers. In here in the Green and Gold game battle. Preview.
All right. That is our Green and Gold game preview. I do want to ask you one thing, Brian, before we move forward, because we've got some other stuff planned. What have you thought? I know you're not a quarterback guru like Tom Clements, but what have you thought of Caleb Williams when you've watched him? What, you know, you obviously have friends that are Bears fans, having grown up in Chicago. You know, I know he went a long time without throwing an interception. He's also been sacked more times this season than I think Aaron Rodgers has in his career, and Aaron Rodgers just set the career record for most sacks. That's how often it seems like he's been sacked. What have your kind of impressions been of Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I mean, it is so hard to judge him because I think his offensive line is really bad. And, you know, you can blame the offensive line for a lot of things, and he's also part to blame because he unfortunately still hasn't learned that you can't hold on to this thing forever, right? Like, mm-hmm. you can't hold on to the ball forever. You're not running away from these defensive linemen. Like, you're, I mean, some quarterbacks can, right? Like Josh Allen does, Lamar Jackson does.
Right.
Aaron for a long time was able to do it, like escape and figure out ways to get out and do things like that. Mahomes was able to do it for a long, like there's guys, you figure out ways to do it. Jayden Daniels is doing it. But he doesn't seem like the type of guy that is figuring that out. And so he's taking a lot of these hits and sacks, but it's been hard to judge him. But like, I think like when you've seen him play well and you've seen him comfortable and, or they've played teams that aren't great defenses or great pass rushing teams where the offensive line could handle themselves. I think he's been, you know, he's been okay. I think like there's a lot of potential there, right? Mm-hmm. And I think if you give him the right head coach or the right system, right, I think he needs an offensive head coach. He needs a certain type of scheme. So, like, you're looking at – I mean, for me, he needs a LaFleur, a McVay, a Shanahan-type scheme, like a Ben Johnson-type scheme. Like, that's what he needs. He needs that type of system to really help him develop and grow as a quarterback. McConnell, that it's, they're all in that same tree. That's where all those guys are coming from. To develop these quarterbacks, and that's why these teams, you look at these teams mostly, that's why these teams are really good offensively, because they're all from the same tree. But I think that's what he needs, and obviously an upgrade on the offensive line is more than necessary. I mean, they have the most cap space, they got a bunch of picks, they need to do something with that. But from his standpoint, I think the potential's there, I think the talent's there. It's just, does the organization make the right decisions to get him there? And that's, I guess, the big question.
And who knows?
That's the thing. Like, do you have any confidence that they'll do it? I really don't. Like, I sent my buddies who are all Bears fans of some report or some rumor, I don't know if it's true or not, that, like, the GM is, like, trying to talk ownership out of,
out of Ben Johnson. Right.
Yeah, like, why? And again, I don't know if that's true or not. Like, I have no idea. But, like, why would you ever do that, right? Like, that guy could be the best thing for your quarterback. But, like, it's just, you know what I mean? Like, that would be the most Bear thing ever. Like, to go away from the best offensive coach that you possibly could. So, like, it's just one of those things that if the organization allows, you know, a great coach to come in and do things, you know, the way he wants to do them and bring in his type of people and bring in his type of guys and do that. I think Caleb Williams can be a good quarterback. But if you just continue to go about things the same old way, well, we'll be talking about this again in 3 years.
Okay? Well.
And we'll be down the same path again.
I want to get to something that Matt LaFleur said earlier in the week because it ties into the Bears. We'll get to that and hear from him next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Usually the case when we have Brian Blog on the show, we're running late already. It's not your fault, that's me. I'm not blaming you. I blame Tausch when we're running late when you're not on, because it's always his fault. But I wanted you to hear this, because I asked Matt LaFleur, because I thought it's an interesting juxtaposition, right? These guys last year are sitting at 3-6, and it could have spiraled. It could have. Very easily could have, right? Young guys, inexperienced, first-year starting quarterback. Not a rookie, but first-year starting quarterback. A defensive coordinator that guys had lost faith in. Things could have gotten bad, and they didn't. The Bears, on the other hand, things have spiraled. And I wanted to get, and I don't know if Matt LaFleur knew the juxtaposition I was making, but I was curious how he prevented that death spiral for the 2023 season. And here is how that exchange went.
Matt, you mentioned the adversity that the Bears have gone through. Obviously, you went through some last year, a lot, actually. When you're in a situation like that, for you as a coach, what are the keys to getting out of it? Like, things
I think you just got to try to stay as resilient as you possibly can, and you got to show up with a great just energy each and every day and just keep working, because you just don't know when it's going to flip. And there's great examples, I think, every year of teams that have gone through some adversity and come out the other side. And like I said a year ago, I thought we were, you know, it's tough in the moment, but if you can get to the other side of that, you're usually better for it. But you got to, yeah, I mean, you got to stay resilient and keep working.
Do you have to, as a coach, I'm not saying you need to coddle guys because they're struggling, but do you have to kind of weigh, all right, I'm going to get after them this much, I got to keep it positive in other ways to kind of get things going well?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think you, as a coach, you always have a responsibility to be honest with where you are at with the situation and how you're performing and all this. But at the same time, I think confidence, whether it's in football or in any aspect of life, is a real thing. And you want to try to build people up and make them, sometimes you believe more than they believe. And if somebody is struggling, you just got to find a way to try to reach them and get them to see what you might see in them.
Brian, my question is, because you were on some teams that were resilient with Mike McCarthy, when you look at the Bears from the outside looking in, do you believe that they will get it figured out? Or is it hard to predict because you don't know who the coach is going to be, you don't know what exactly they're going to do moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, you would like to believe that they'll figure it out, right? Like, I mean, the Lions figured it out. Right. But like
they did.
Made a great hire in Dan Campbell, right? Like they made a great hire in Dan Campbell. So like, and it, but look how long it took the Lions, right? Mm-hmm. Like it took the Lions, what, 40 years? Like, honestly, like, I mean, it took them forever to figure it out, but they did. They got it figured out. And now they're a really good team. And it looks like from a franchise and an organization standpoint, they got it figured out. Chicago's kind of, since, and I've said this, like, since Lovie Smith has gone down this path, right? Since, what was it, Jason? They got rid of him in 2011?
Yeah.
Got rid of Lovie?
11 or 12, yeah. After going 10-6, by the way.
Yeah, after going 10-6, they got rid of Lovie, and this is the road they've been down. And so we're looking at what this is, and it's the same pattern, right? Like, hire a coach, draft a quarterback, 3 years, fire the coach, draft another quarterback, like, and this is it, right? So if they make a good hire, I think they can pull themselves out of it. And if they don't, we're just going to repeat the cycle again, right? And that's kind of where they're at. So I think they have good veteran players in that locker room that can aid in that, that can aid in helping a good coach kind of pull themselves out of it, right? Like, you look at who they have defensively. They got some good guys on that side of the ball. They got some good veteran players on the offensive side of the ball. They have a young quarterback that, like I said earlier, that I think has some talent, that if you kind of nurture that a little bit, I think he can turn himself into a, I don't know if an elite quarterback. I don't, because there, you know, there's no evidence of that right now. It's hard to judge that. Mm-hmm. But he could turn himself into a good quarterback. You got to bring in the right coach. You got to bring in and change the culture, and that is way harder, like, than people think. Like, they think it's just bringing in a guy and he talks tough and runs a hard practice, and that's a culture changer.
Well, no, like, let me interrupt you, because you ended up with some experience, right? Because you played for Mike. for as long as you did. Then Matt LaFleur comes in for your last year in Green Bay, and then you go to the Chargers. Like, you experienced three different coaches. Not every, you know, Tausch only played for two. Tausch never played outside of Green Bay. You experienced it, and I'm not asking you to drag your Chargers coach, but he was not the right guy for the job. Now they got Harbaugh, yeah. And now they're winning, right? That mm-hmm. It does matter. Yeah. So, again, yeah. we'll see who they hire, but that you got that experience firsthand.
Yeah, I did. And, like, the thing was, like, when I mean, if you remember, I had four, because when I got there, it was Anthony Lynn.
Oh, that's right.
It was Anthony Lynn, and then it was Staley, and now it's Harbaugh. So, like, they've gone through, you know, so many head coaches in so many years, and now with Harbaugh, obviously, he is a culture change guy. He right. is a complete culture
change guy. And a quarterback guy.
I mean, you look – yes, exactly, and a quarterback guy. And you look at, you know, Anthony Lynn's on staff in Washington, doing a really good job with what he's asked to do in Washington with the run game. And I don't – I think Staley's in San Francisco. I don't know if he is or not. I think he is. But, like, not everyone's meant and this is not a shot at Brandon, but, like, not everyone's meant to be a head coach. It is not easy managing everybody. Like, it is not an easy gig, man. Like, and then when you're a play caller on top of it, like, it's not easy to do it. So, like, and that's just the reality of it. And in a place like Chicago, or even like, you know, Detroit, I mean, you look at Campbell, he's not calling any plays, right? So, like,
right.
He has his pull. He's got his hand on everything there. Like, he's, you know, he's, which I think is why that team is kind of playing so well, and they've turned it around, because he's not in one side of the ball. He's kind of everywhere. And mm-hmm. Dan Campbell's footprint and handprint are everywhere. And that's why they all kind of behave and act the same way. And it shows. And I think that's what Chicago needs. But they're not going to get that. I mean, they need an offensive-minded guy.
Right.
To help Caleb Williams. That's what they need. Because if you go in and you bring in another defensive guy, it's you can't. You can't. You got to bring in someone like a Ben Johnson or I don't even know. But we'll see.
Well,
we'll see.
There were rumors that Jim Harbaugh, who quarterbacked the Bears, wanted to be the Bears coach. And it makes you wonder what this season might have looked like with him coaching Caleb Williams. All right, we got Brian for another 2 hours as our cousin sub of the day. I want to get to some of your questions. Some of Jesse's favorite dwellers in the YouTube comments have also submitted some questions. You can submit them via the Carbless Talk and Text line. Text us 844-770-3776. Want to remind you, Tausch tells you about Fortrea clinical trials all the time. Right now they have a bunch of studies going on. Tausch and I would qualify for this. I think Brian, his BMI is too low at this point. He looks like a tight end. So healthy, overweight adults ages 18 to 65 with a body mass index between 27 and 40 are qualified for this current study. It involves two separate stays totaling 65 overnights, number 65, Mark Tauscher, and six outpatient visits, compensation up to $27,463 for time and participation. They also have studies looking for healthy adults 18 to 60. Women can be of childbearing potential. BMI between 18.5 and 30. That's one stay of 11 nights plus two follow-up visits. Compensation for that one is $7,104. Learn more at FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, Fortrea, clinicaltrials.com. We'll start the 10 o'clock hour tardy in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.